I was listening this week to the Catholic radio in my car on the XM radio. They have the Catholic channel, and they were discussing the season of Lent, which had just begun. And it's always interesting because one of the like producers of the show is actually an atheist. So he doesn't normally talk, but they kind of brought him on, and he was talking about, yeah, Lent's such a downer. You know, there's all this fasting and suffering and the whole story of Jesus, it just gets worse and he gets betrayed. And then, you know, the whole thing ends with him being killed. It's just a real downer. And of course, one of the Catholic hosts says, well, you know, there's more to that. The story goes on at the end. There's the whole rising from the dead thing. It's like, well, oh yeah, sure. I mean, that's really nice too. I'm like, well, yeah, that's kind of the whole point. But it really showed me how much difference it could make just to know the whole story, and particularly to know where we're going. Yes, there is the sadness of everything that happens to Jesus, but the fact that we know where that goes, that it does end on Easter Sunday with resurrection and new life, not just for Jesus, but all of us, well, that colors everything then about the passion and suffering and death of Jesus. It's no longer just torture inflicted on a helpless victim. Rather, it's the willing sacrifice of God for us to show his love for us. It colors everything to know where we're going. I think that is important for us as we begin Lent, to know where it is that we are going. Now, of course, we know we're headed towards Easter and the celebration of that. That means that it gives a color to what we do during Lent. Yes, there's prayer and fasting and almsgiving, sacrifice, giving things up. But all that is meant to be in context, that we would say no to these lesser things so that we might at Easter be able to say a greater yes to what this is all really about, namely life in the Spirit, as Peter tells us, new life in Christ. If I were to ask you what is Lent all about, well, a lot of people might point to the things they give up and, you know, the sacrifices. But if I had to boil it down, one thing, what is Lent about? St. Peter gives it to us today in our second reading. It's about baptism. Now, that might not be the first thing you think about, baptism. Why is Lent about baptism? We don't even really, you know, celebrate baptism with adults during Lent. That's at Easter. But the whole season of Lent, the reason that this season came about in the history of the church was precisely to prepare for baptism for the adults who were joining the church, who were going to be baptized at Easter. It was necessary to have a period of preparation and purification for those who were about to be baptized. Because to be baptized means that you turn your back on your entire former sinful way of life to follow Jesus. It's a radical change of life to accept baptism and become a follower of Jesus, so there needed to be a period of preparation. That is the origin of the season of Lent. Preparation for baptism for those adults to be baptized at Easter. Now, it didn't take long before the church started to see that, well, even people who had been baptized decided, well, they wanted to join with those who were praying for baptism. Just like we pray for our catechumens here at the parish and throughout the church in the world that will be baptized. People wanted to join with that. Well, let's pray with them. Let's help them prepare. And then it wasn't too hard to see that, well, all of us, even if we are baptized, need to say a greater yes to what we promised in baptism. We tend to say yes, but then over the course of our lives, the year, we tend to take it back. We tend to say no to God in little ways and disgrace the promises we made to choose God in baptism. So all of us, whether we're preparing for baptism for the first time or we're preparing to renew our baptism, well, that's where we're going, and we need this period of preparation. Because here's the thing. I was a high school chaplain twice before this, both at Hayden High School in Topeka and Bishop Miege High School in Roland Park. And one of the things I love to do is to go into the classrooms and make a little surprise visit and, you know, talk about how things are going. And I remember that every now and then it would happen that someone would come up in the hall, one of the students, and would say, oh, Father Sean, can you come visit our class today? Oh yeah, okay, I'll try to stop by. And then someone else from that same class would say, oh, can you come visit our class today, Father Sean? Like, yeah. And by the time like the seventh or eighth person asked me to visit their math class, I'm like, is there any chance that you have a test in that class today? Oh, Father. Well, actually, yes. So if you could come by, Father Sean, that'd be great. Thinking they're going to get out of the test because I come by their class. We don't often like tests, okay? We want to try to avoid it. I was one of those smart kids when I was growing up, so I was always the one like, oh, great, a test, a chance to prove how much I know. That's why I didn't have many friends. It's not like that. But for the most of us, a test can be a little bit daunting. But here's the thing. There is actually a test at the end of Lent, and you might not have thought about it, but remember this now, because I'm telling you, on Easter Sunday, or at the Easter Vigil, the priest will get up and say, having completed our Lenten preparation, let us now renew the promises we made in holy baptism. Some of you will be thinking, I made promises in holy baptism? I don't even remember what those were. I was a little baby. That's the test, okay? We will be asked by the priest 6 questions. So isn't this great? I'm going to give you the questions ahead of time. And the answers are actually really easy. Because on Easter Sunday, the priest will stand up and say, do you reject Satan? All his works, all his empty promises. And then, do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Catholic Church, communion of saints? Those are the 6 questions. 3 of them are denials. Do you renounce Satan? 3 of them are believes. Do you believe the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit? And here's the deal. The answer to all 6 questions is I do. All right? So that's it. That's the test. That's the answers. But the preparation is not easy. In fact, it might be a lot easier to prepare for a math test or something, because this test that's coming on Easter, it's not simply about knowing the right answers. All of you will be able to figure out on Easter Sunday when the priest says that everyone else is saying, I do. So I guess I'll say I do as well. And no one will really know if you just thought about it on Easter Sunday or if you haven't even been to Mass since the last Easter Sunday. Everyone can stand up and say, I do. You know, the question is, do you really mean that? Okay, the word I do is translated, the Latin there is credo. Credo, which you might hear sounds a lot like our word creed. That's the word creed in English is credo in Latin. Credo is actually 2 Latin words put together, cor and do. Cor means heart. Do means I give. So literally it's cor do. I give my heart. That is what you're saying when you say credo, I believe, or respond to the promises of baptism, I do. So I give my heart. Now, that's why we need 6 weeks to prepare, because especially if we've turned our heart away from God, if we've hardened our hearts for a long time, well, we can't just stand up on Easter and automatically say, okay, yeah, I'm back. I give myself totally to God. It's, as we hear in the gospel, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, believe in the gospel. It's a twofold act. Repent, we literally have to turn around to go a different direction to believe in the gospel. In the early church, when they would do baptisms of the adults, you'd be gathered in the baptistry and everyone would be completely naked, because it shows that you're throwing off everything. You bring nothing before God. We stand completely in need. And then for those first 3 questions, the denials of Satan, everyone was told to face west. You would face the land of darkness and shadow, symbolic of Satan, and you would be asked, do you reject Satan? And they would have to yell really loudly that, yes, I reject Satan. And then it even says that they would spit to the west. So, mental note, don't stand on the west wall at an early church baptism. But after renouncing Satan 3 times with loud I rejects, it says that they would then turn around 180 degrees and face east, land of the rising sun, symbolic of new life, and there profess their credos. I give my heart. That's a kind of physical turning around, but that's exactly what we're called to do to follow Christ. We have to turn our backs on Satan and all his works, all his empty show. Refuse to be mastered by sin. Turn the other direction and say, I want to go that way. I want to follow God. Now, the truth is that we live our life hopefully headed towards east, but we tend to look over our shoulders a bit. We might take a few steps back, get disoriented. Lent is all about reorienting ourselves towards God, towards this solemn renewal then of our baptism. We have to make our hearts free to do that. Now here's the thing. Baptism, you might think, well, why is that so important? Because everything we celebrate in Lent, the whole story, passion, death, resurrection of Jesus, Jesus who comes and pays the debt for all our sins, who dies for every sin that was committed, every sin that you and I commit this week, every sin that everyone ever will commit, Jesus paid the debt for that sin. But how do we get it? How do me who sins right now, how do I benefit from the physical death of Jesus 2,000 years ago? Well, that's through the magical, beautiful grace of the sacraments, particularly baptism. Everything that Jesus did for us is given to us freely in baptism. That is when we are saved. Now, I don't know about you, but especially I know it's a common experience that if you're in your house and someone comes and knocks on your door, there's probably no more terrifying feeling than hearing, "Hi, I'm Elder Larson. I'm from the Mormon Church. Can I come in and talk to you?" And you're like, no. You're not sure. Jehovah's Witnesses come by. Your Protestant friends come by. I had people do this at the rectory. I think it's always really brave when people come by the rectory and say, "We'd like to share the word with you." I'm like, great. I'd like to share the word with you too. And it's wonderful. But how many of you actually react that way? If someone shows up at your door and says, "Hey, I'm Christian. I'd like to talk with you." You're like, oh no, this is not good. Well, it's actually great. You know, but one thing that people often get asked, especially by our Protestant brothers and sisters, is, are you saved? And unfortunately, sometimes the Catholic answer is, no, I'm Catholic. Don't say that, okay? That is the wrong answer, okay? Yes, you're saved. If you are baptized, then you are saved. The death of Jesus Christ has been applied and washed your soul in the blood of the Lamb at their baptism. You are saved. But the problem is we do have the ability to turn around and run away from God. So we're also being saved. We have been saved. We are being saved. That's why we need the Eucharist and confession over and over. And we hope that in the end, we will persevere through our lives and be saved permanently in the end and be with God forever in heaven. So yes, you've been saved, you're being saved, you pray that you will persevere and be saved. All that is begun in the beautiful gift of baptism. So this is a chance to kind of us to remember, to go back to the beginning, to remember how we first received that faith, that grafting into the family of God. But then it's also a chance for us to remember where we're going, that there is a test at the end. So today, we're at the beginning. You're lucky. You've got plenty of time to prepare. You've got the questions. You've got the answers. Question is then, how hard will you be on yourself? How much will you prepare? Will you work hard this Lent? Because in the end, we know that baptism is what saves us. That's what Peter says. Baptism saves you now. Okay. It saved us. But what does the future look like? Will we continue to walk with God? Well, it all depends very much on how we do on this test come Easter Sunday. So don't be afraid. It's coming. You'll think about Father Sean on Easter Sunday when you hear the priest say, "Let us now renew our promises of holy baptism." What will you do? Well, I pray that, like those early Christians with much gusto, you will be able, because of your preparation on Easter Sunday, to boldly be able to stand up and say, "Yes, I do. I reject Satan. I've done it every day for the last 6 weeks preparing. Yes, I do. I choose God. Credo. I give my heart." That's where we're headed. That's what Lent is really all about.